Hello, everyone, and welcome to the third installment of Pitches Get Stitches. I'm your host, Joel Anthony, and today we'll be talking about the AL Central. And leading off, who better than the divisional champs, Cleveland Indians? The Indians went 102-60. The Indians had an amazing year. I think we all know that. That run of 22 consecutive wins was by far the most impressive thing I've seen on a baseball field, team-wise, in a very long time. And even though that the streak basically started with the Yankees, still very impressive, and I enjoyed watching it almost on a nightly basis. I mean, that really was incredible, watching them go out there, win. That one win they had when they were down, Lindor hit the game-tying triple, like, unbelievable. As a baseball fan, like, you have to appreciate stuff like that. That was absolutely incredible. Anyway, the Indians have a great group of guys here. They pitch, they hit, they run, they field. They have a very good team and a great manager in Terry Francona. There's not many holes in this team, and they're primed for another strong run in 2018, as long as they're healthy. And speaking of health, Carlos Carrasco. The guy is an absolute beast when he's healthy, but he needs to be healthy. He spent a good amount of time on the DL for the past few years. Getting rotation help to keep some of these guys to fill the holes for these guys when they get on the DL would be a huge thing for Cleveland. But Carlos Carrasco is an absolute beast, and he's a legit ace when he is healthy and on. So keeping him healthy is a main concern for Cleveland next year. Danny Salazar, he had a couple of starts after one of his DL stints where we all thought that he was Clayton Kershaw. I mean, it was unbelievable. The guy looked unhittable, striking out upwards of 10 to 12 guys every two starts in a row, three starts in a row. And then there's starts where you watch Danny Salazar and you're not sure what sport he's trying to play. So, I don't know what Cleveland's going to do with him. I'm sure that they continue to want him to be a starter, but I don't know if his body is able to take on the season-long 162 games, 30 starts. I don't know if he's going to ever be able to do that. So maybe he's a long guy for them, but we'll see. Danny Salazar, though, is an unbelievable pitcher with tremendous talent. Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer, also staples in this rotation. Obviously, Kluber is probably going to win the Cy Young. But he's, health has reamed its ugly head with these guys, too. So, the rotation is very, very good when healthy, but it's also had trouble staying healthy. And speaking of health, again, Michael Brantley, the Indians picked up his option, and he's been no stranger to the DL. Brantley is only a few years removed from being an MVP candidate a few years ago, but it's hard to imagine him regaining that type of play. I think the Indians need to sign Jay Bruce. He crushed it for them last year. And with Carlos Santana heading to free agency, that leaves something to be desired in that lineup in the power department. It would still be a very, very good lineup, but there would be a massive power outage there. Bruce, in my mind, is a must-sign for them. And he'll come much cheaper than a guy like J.D. Martinez. The bullpen for Cleveland is solid all around, having one of the best in the game this year. They should look to sign Travis Shaw, but if he wants too much money, honestly, I would say let him walk. There are a ton of free agent relief arms out on the market right now, and the Indians could basically get whoever they want, and I'm sure that any one of those guys would love to go to a team that's, primed to be a contender next year. I do think that they would benefit from adding a rotation arm. It doesn't need to be Arrieta or Darvish, but maybe, Lance Lynn or Alex Cobb. And if they want to go even cheaper, they can go for a guy like Jeremy Hellickson. He's a guy that could be slotted into the back end of that rotation so that when you realize Carrasco or Salazar or even Kluber, hit the DL, Hellickson will be healthy. He's made more than 27 starts in each of his last 6 years, with the exception of 2014. So he is definitely a guy that you could rely on in the back end of the rotation to be there and be healthy. But on the whole, there isn't a lot of work for Cleveland to do before next season. In my eyes, re-sign Jay Bruce, grab a back end rotation arm, and get another bullpen relief arm, and they'll be fine. As long as they stay healthy-ish, they'll be in the highly sought-after hunt for October. The Royals finishing the season 80-82. The Royals royally messed up this past season. They thought they can get one more strong championship run out of what was left of the 2015 squad, but only ended up fizzling out hardcore after the deadline was way past, and they were stuck having held on to all their big impending free agents. For the small market Kansas City Royals, I'd highly doubt they signed one, if any, of their big free agents. Those include, but are not limited, to Eric Hosmer, who is the best first baseman available, Alcides Escobar, Jason Vargas, Lorenzo Cain, and Mike Moustakas. I'd have to assume that most, if not all, these guys sign elsewhere in the winter. Of all of these, though, I can see Moustakas coming back. Something about his story, coming up with the Royals and struggling mightily to begin his career, makes me believe that he might be a little bit more inclined to be a little bit more loyal than the next guy. Some say that that guy might be Hosmer. I truly don't see it, but time will tell. I really think that Hosmer is going to sign with the Red Sox. It's just too good of a fit, and I feel like the Red Sox are going to pay him a ton of money. But there are strong people. There are people out there that strongly believe Hosmer will sign back with KC. I don't see it. It doesn't make sense for him. It doesn't make sense for the organization. Whether he comes back at a discount, who knows? But I really don't see it. I know this might be hard to swallow for Kansas City, since they had so many years before their back-to-back World Series runs being, you know, bad teams. But you might be looking at a really rough season next year. But let's look at possible replacements for some of these guys. Losing a Gold Glove first baseman isn't easy to replace. But I've heard rumors about Logan Morrison expressing lots of interest in playing in Kansas City. Now, he's not Eric Hosmer, but he's a very, very viable option and will come substantially cheaper than Hosmer will. The depleted Royals farm system does have one of their top prospects being a first baseman at Nick Prado. It's not certain when he'll be able to crack the majors since he was just drafted this past season, but maybe they can sign Morrison to a deal that gives Prado time to develop. Lorenzo Cain, another huge loss. He does everything, though. He hits for power, a decent average, he wins Gold Gloves, and he runs the bases very well. There aren't many top-tier outfielders on the market, and even if there were, the Royals aren't signing any of them. The best out there is probably Carlos Gonzalez. I don't even trust him in Colorado, let alone Kansas City. So I highly doubt that he's signing in KC anytime soon. The best thing for Casey to do would be to pick up some guys that might have some trade value come July, move them to contending teams. They need to restock. Don't forget to go to LennyMelnickBlogTalkRadio.com and stay right here. When I get back, I'm going to tell you guys about my dark horse candidates for the Darvish Arrieta sweepstakes. Welcome back. We're talking about the AL Central and moving on to the Minnesota Twins. They finished the season 86-77. The Twins had a good season, surprising many this year. Even after trading away their closer at the deadline, they still managed to pull out the second wild card and an eventual loss to the Yankees. Still, all in all, a very successful season for the Twins. Twins had some very nice surprises in 17, one of which shouldn't have been a surprise was Irvin Santana having a great stretch run to end the 2016 season. His 17 season was no surprise to me. Byron Buxton finally broke out after getting sent down again to AAA. He finished the season very strong and showed the top prospect potential the organization and fans in Minnesota and everywhere truly have been dying to see. This guy was getting sent up, sent down, sent up, sent down. They were absolutely abusing this man. But hey, listen, I mean, I get it. He was struggling mightily when he was up here, was up in the majors. And then he was killing it in AAA. I mean, I don't blame them for doing what they did with him, but it's really nice to see that he finally broke out. Hopefully, in 2018 he could can sustain that that promise and continue to move forward in his career. Twins have a good core of players, but they'll need to seriously upgrade in a few areas if they want to contend with Cleveland. First thing they need to focus on is their pitching, rotation, and bullpen. Even though they survived without Kinsler, they'll need some help if they'd like to end their season with contention. There are a ton of middle relief, mid-tier arms available this offseason. The Twins would be well off to land at least one of those guys. As for the rotation, after Santana and Berrios, that's pretty much it. Kyle Gibson will probably fall somewhere in that rotation, but he is a model of inconsistency. And although he had a very strong second half, I wouldn't trust this guy to hold the door open for me, let alone go six innings and three earned runs. Minnesota has a couple of prospects in the top 100 list in Steven Gonzalez and Fernando Romero, but those guys will most likely start the season in AAA. So maybe as the season moves on, they can possibly bring them up and maybe throw them in bullpen help if they need it, or to fill in some holes that they're desperately going to need to fill in the rotation some point during the season. I think the Twins should be big players in the Alex Cobb sweepstakes. Although he doesn't have the track record of the big two, he's a solid pitcher, and he will obviously come much cheaper than Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish. They need to do something to bolster the rotation, whether it's big two or the second-tier guys like Cobb or Lynn, Hellickson. Although the Twins have a huge hole in their bullpen, I don't see them committing big money to big-name closers like Holland or Davis. Pat Neshek, Anthony Swarzak, Brandon Morrow are free agents they should definitely reach out to. They should target a veteran bullpen guy who's been around for a while, to teach the young guys, how to make it through an MLB career. That stuff is so valuable, and I will continue to talk about the value of veteran leadership with young teams for the following weeks to come. When you think of Minnesota Twins, you don't think of money-spending animals like the Dodgers and Red Sox and Yankees. That being said, there are several free agents that Minnesota could and maybe should go after this offseason. They have a very minimal amount of guaranteed money for the 2018 season, and after next year, they'll be shedding that terrible, miserable Joe Mauer contract. If the Twins are willing, they could potentially be outside contenders for the big names of Darvish and Arrieta, and a division that could potentially see the Royals, Tigers, and the prospect-heavy White Sox rebuilding, that could sway ownership to be a little bit more aggressive in pursuing the coveted free agents. The baseball fan in me wants the Twins to go out there and actually make a move to become serious contenders and stop messing around. They've spent way too much time being decent and not having a pennant appearance in over two decades doesn't look good. I mean, who really thought the Twins had a chance of winning the wild card game? Nobody. Even after they went up 3-0, it just seemed too good to be true for the poor Minnesota fans. The organization as a whole needs to get tougher and grittier, and that starts with upper management. Moving on to the White Sox. The White Sox were what we all thought they were going to be this year, a rebuilding team. But they are in a very enviable position, even in their rebuilding years. The hauls that they received for some of their players, I must say, in my own opinion, were downright stupid. I mean, Lucas Giolito, a very, very top-tier prospect and one of the most highly touted players for several years, for Adam Eaton. There isn't a person in baseball, professionally, fan-wise, no one that saw that and heard that trade that didn't say, what the hell? I mean, hey, good for the White Sox, good for upper management. Like, seriously, amazing deal. But I remember listening to the radio, and the hosts were flabbergasted when that trade was announced. No one could believe it. Unfortunately, Adam Eaton tore his ACL in the very beginning of the season. He's a very good player, too. This isn't a knock on Eaton. He's solid defensively. He's a solid base runner, steals a ton of bases. He's a great leadoff hitter. But he tore his ACL, and that kind of ended his season very prematurely for him and the Nationals. But they also got huge deals for players like Chris Sale. Chris Sale, they got Yo Moncada, the biggest prospect over the past couple of years. Todd Frazier, Jose Quintana, David Robertson, and so on. I mean, those are all, you know, very good players that they got, you know, a bunch of guys for. All the trading the White Sox have done over the past couple of seasons land them with a top-tier farm system and eventually should become a very strong contender. Now, we are all well aware that prospects don't always pan out, so it's on the White Sox to either keep and let go of the right guys. They're set up, though, but what they do with these guys and how they handle them will be very interesting. Having the best farm system doesn't win you any prizes. They must transform these guys into major league-ready guys. And with top-tier prospect level comes top-tier personality, so they have to have the right guys in place to handle these guys. Despite trading basically anyone on this team who has a value the past couple of years, the White Sox still have a couple of guys with immense trade potential. The gentlemen who I'm referring to are Avisail Garcia and Jose Abreu, both of whom had great seasons last year, and both are controlled through the 2019 season. I don't know if either gets dealt before or during the season or even next year. Maybe not at all, but I do know that if they wanted to, they can get huge hauls for both of them. In the meantime, before 2019, when Chicago predicts to be contending, they'll have to put together a team in particular a rotation that's major league ready. Guys like Pelfrey and Cole Mentor were just brutal to watch this year. I mean, James Shields will he be the opening day starter? It'll probably be Carlos Rodon. James Shields is a guy, you know, although he's been getting rocked the past few years and his ERA is upwards of 5 and it's just atrocious to look at, he's an 11-year vet and he's pitched long enough and he's been in the World Series. His nickname used to be called Big Name James, if you could imagine that. But he's a guy that, you know, the White Sox organization are going to want around for the next couple of years, you know, teaching the young guys, you know, how to handle, you know, a major league team and, the interviews and just a 162-game season and everything that comes with being a major league player on top of being a professional, something that James Shields has done very well over his career. So even though he's not a very good pitcher anymore, and that doesn't mean that he can't figure it out. Cesar Sabathia was really bad after this, before this 2017 season, and he figured it out. So maybe James Shields can too. But the rotation's going to be pretty ugly. Carlos Rodon is the guy that they're going to be looking forward to lean on and to really break out. He started the season on the DL. Hopefully he put his injury woes behind him and he could stay healthy for this season. When he's healthy, he strikes out a ton of guys. You know, but we've seen him be very good and we've seen him be very shaky. I'm sure they'd like to see more consistency out of him this season. His upside is absolutely tremendous. There's a ton to look forward to as a White Sox fan. Down the stretch, we saw some really impressive offensive performances from this team, led by young Sergio Moncada, Tim Anderson. As a White Sox fan, as White Sox fans are concerned, those two names, along with Giolito, are names that you want to watch all season. Those are the franchise names that will be groomed into hopeful MLB stars to carry this team into contention in a few years and years to come. So hopefully for the White Sox, everything goes well with their prospects, and hopefully they'll be there in a few years. But I see them, you know, they might finish the season maybe in third place next year because you got the last place Tigers finishing this year at 64-98. Finishing in last place in one of the worst divisions in baseball is a hard feat to accomplish, especially when the team directly above you is known to be big-time sellers before the season even started. So to say that this season was a disappointment for Detroit would be a huge understatement, in my eyes. I understand that there was a lot of injuries and stuff, but still, I mean, I just feel like this team has been mismanaged over the past few years, and it wasn't just this season that was a disappointment. In the previous years, the Tigers made the playoffs, and each year they had trouble with the bullpen help, and always seemed to be missing that one piece that would land them, you know, a World Series finish. The closest they got was getting swept in 2012 versus San Francisco, which was just pretty embarrassing. No one wants to get swept in the World Series. No one wants to get swept in the playoffs regardless, but getting swept in the World Series, it almost makes you look like you shouldn't have been there. Now, maybe a closer wouldn't have mattered in the World Series after getting swept. You know, something else happens. And I specifically remember their offense just being completely shut down in that World Series. But nonetheless, you know, they've got veteran players that seem to be deteriorating year after year, and Miguel Cabrera and Victor Martinez. And unlike the White Sox, the Tigers aren't stocked, locked, and loaded in the minors. But surprisingly, they actually did something this season to change that. They finally realized that an on and off again, Victor Martinez and Miguel Cabrera weren't going to be able to bring the team to the postseason. So they moved on from two huge players in Justin Verlander and J.D. Martinez. If you ask me, I'd say that they need to do some more of the same before and during the 2018 season. The first guy that needs to go is Ian Kinsler. He's a second baseman and is in the latter stages of his career, and I believe that if Detroit wants to move him, they should do so before the season starts. He's got a solid glove, an above-average bat, and he's played in the playoffs, which is highly valuable in today's game. The market for second baseman isn't huge, but moving him makes too much sense not to explore. I understand, you know, the fans aren't going to like moving some of these guys, but again, Ian Kinsler is 35. You know, he's not going to be around for the next wave of contention for the Detroit Tigers. Move him while he still has value or be stuck with him. Do not make the mistake that the Royals did. Move Ian Kinsler. I understand that he's a veteran presence that teach young guys, but they don't have a crop of young guys like the White Sox do. You know, if you're going to move him now. Next guy on my trading docket, Michael Fulmer. Now, this one's going to irk Detroit fans because although he's controllable for years to come, this is a rebuilding team, so the Tigers should at least explore offers. Now, I bet that someone is willing to overpay for mid to upper rotation arm. Maybe not before the season, but at the deadline when teams are desperate, might be the time to make a move for Detroit on Fulmer. I understand that he's coming off a season where he had surgery, but reports say that it should not affect him going forward. I understand fans hate to see the 2016 Rookie of the Year leave, but this kind of move is a business move. Something that fans won't love, but have to deal with if it happens. He's been very good for the Tigers when healthy, and you know, losing a guy who's come up with your team is not always an easy pill to swallow. But it's something that they should seriously look into, because I can guarantee that come deadline time, if he's healthy, they would be able to get a huge haul for a guy like Michael Fulmer. And for a team that needs prospect and farm system help greatly, he's a guy that can definitely return a huge haul. Shane Green proved to be a reliable back end of a bullpen guy when the team traded their closer and Justin Wilson to the Chicago Cubs. Moving him would also make too much sense. But again, I think that they should wait and move him closer to the deadline. As I've stated many times already, moving relief arms at the deadline turns out to be way more lucrative than moving them before the season. Before the season, no one knows what they have. At the deadline, everyone knows what they have and what they need, and what they need is bullpen help. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to look into the free agent pool of relief arms. Some of these guys can come very cheap. There's a ton of arms out there, and if you think about it, you wait until most of the arms are signed, grab a guy like Pat Neshek or someone that caliber, give him a 2-year deal, maybe even a 1-year deal if he's desperate, trade him at the deadline. As I've stated many times, this is the bullpen arms is how you make a living in retooling your farm system. In an era where hitting 200 innings pitched for a starter is now considered a milestone, I understand that Detroit has a hefty payroll already with guys like Victor Martinez and Miguel Cabrera, Jordan Zimmermann, and Kinsler. But anything to improve the farm system should be considered. It really should, because this is a very depleted Detroit farm system and overall organization, and they should think about what they could do to help their team in the future. Thank you for listening. This has been Joel Anthony. This is the third episode of Pitches Get Stitches, and I'll see you next week when we'll be talking about the National League Central. Thank you very much. I'll see you guys next week.